A warning for our listeners, this next story discusses suicide in detail. It may not be appropriate for everyone. More than 20,000 Americans die by firearm suicide every year. In the Mountain West, solving this problem is particularly urgent. Suicide rates are high, and guns are everywhere. So there's a growing movement to put distance between guns and people in crisis. For the Guns in America series, In Their Own Hands, Lee Patterson reports.
Damon Hatfield lives in a small town called Craig in northwest Colorado. It's known as the elk hunting capital of the world.
Well, here's my gun cabinet.
Damon has several guns, some for protection, some hunting rifles, some family heirlooms.
This is what they call a coach gun. This is an antique.
Guns are a normal part of life here. But last summer, Damon gave his away. Now, a year later, he describes the night he made that choice.
So it was about 10 o'clock. And I went to bed, and she had started drinking.
His wife had been drinking a lot. She was struggling with a terminal illness and ongoing mental health issues. On top of that, they were worried about money. This was a rough patch.
It was 4:30 in the morning. I had to get up and use the restroom, and I couldn't find my wife anywhere in the house.
He looked outside.
And there's my wife. She was sitting in the chair on the porch. And I tried to wake her, and I saw the gun on her chest, and it was the worst day of my life right there.
At some point, the police arrived. Then the victim's advocate showed up, and they asked him, "Do you have any guns in the home?"
I'm like, "Well, yeah." And they said, "Well, we need to get them." I'm like, "Okay."
They collected his guns, and then a family member came by to pick them up.
And you're depressed. You blame yourself. Those are dangerous times, and I don't think people need an easy weapon to hurt themselves with, and getting the guns out of the house was a good idea.
That simple act is a potential solution to a huge and growing challenge in many rural areas: how to prevent firearm suicide in a place where firearms are everywhere. In Colorado, the suicide rate is high and growing, and Moffitt County, where Damon lives, has one of the highest rates in the state.
And in our county, individuals are choosing to end their life using firearm. This is just a fact.
Megan Frangone was one of the victim's advocates who showed up to Damon's house that night. Recently, she has been busy. It's been one suicide after another.
I have firearm in my home. I have my concealed carry. We're a member of the NRA. I'm not anti-firearm. I am pro-gun safety.
Research shows that the acute period of suicide risk is often brief. Many people take just 5 or 10 minutes to think it through. And because firearms are so lethal, helping separate people from guns during that time is part of Megan's job. She says almost everyone agrees.
Because it's a personal and voluntary choice.
In rural conservative areas like Moffitt County, the voluntary part is key. Take Colorado's Extreme Risk Protection Order law, for example. It allows a judge to order the temporary removal of firearms from someone in crisis. In other words, getting the guns out of the house, but mandated by the state. Many communities have pushed back against this law, including some with the highest suicide rates in the state. Moffitt County and the city of Craig have passed resolutions against it, and the sheriff has questioned its constitutionality.
If you come to Moffitt County with the top-down approach when you're talking about Second Amendment, you will hit a wall. Conversations will end.
The voluntary approach meets people where they are. It can mean getting guns out of the house or locking them up in the house.
Without gun owners' involvement, we're not going to be able to tackle this issue.
This is Kathy Barber's driving philosophy. She studies guns and suicide at Harvard, and she's found that many gun owners are already working on suicide prevention. She gives this example from a firearm safety meeting at a New Hampshire gun shop years ago.
During breaks, I'd hear some of the gun guys on the committee talking to one another.
Saying things like, "Oh, we stopped by so-and-so's over the weekend to pick up the guns because his son is having a hard time."
And I was like, "Wait, that's a public health intervention. Like, why don't we just kind of name it and promote it?"
The names vary, but momentum behind the idea is building. The Department of Veterans Affairs built a downloadable safe storage toolkit. A range safety officer in Pennsylvania launched a website called HoldMyGuns.org. Public health experts in a handful of states have mapped out places where people can drop off their guns. This kind of voluntary storage worked for Damon Hatfield, but it did not work for his wife. And this illustrates one of the problems with storage. It's hard to know who shouldn't have access and when.
Yeah. Wow, that's true. You know, I didn't even think about taking the guns out of the house. I kind of trusted her because she was in a bad spot, you know, like a few years ago, and she asked me to take the gun out of the house.
So he did. But eventually, he gave the gun back. There's a meth problem in their town. Damon was worried about break-ins.
Maybe I should have kept the gun out of the house.
Dr. Emmy Betts is an emergency physician at the University of Colorado Anschutz Medical Campus who focuses on firearm suicide prevention. She is all about voluntary storage, but I asked her if it really goes far enough to prevent firearm suicide.
Oh, that's a, I don't know, billion-dollar question. I don't know if it goes far enough. I think it is the critical first step.
Because getting rid of all the guns just isn't practical, Betts takes a harm reduction approach, helping gun owners stay safe. She hopes that over time, voluntary storage will become a widespread part of gun culture, complete with a catchphrase, like friends don't let friends drive drunk.
And I don't know what that catchphrase is because I'm not in advertising. But how do we get to the point where it just becomes a norm that if you, if your family member, if your friend is at risk of suicide, one of the things you do is you get the guns out of the house.
So there it is, a cycle of grief.
Damon Hatfield has put in a lot of work to get through his wife's death since last summer. He reads books about grief. He talks about it with his friends and family. He says he cries every day.
How did you know you were ready to get your guns back emotionally?
I pondered over it.
He talked with his family, thought through everything he was doing to feel better, and 4 months after his wife's suicide, he decided he was comfortable.
And most people are like, well, how could you have a gun in your house? How could you even pick one up after this? It's a gun's a tool. It's like a hammer. But no, I don't blame the gun for this.
So in addition to separating yourself from your guns, Damon has advice for others. Watch for people struggling in your community. And if you're struggling, get help. Talk about it. After we finished talking, Damon walked out the door for a counseling appointment. For Guns and America, I'm Lee Patterson.
For more on this reporting project, visit gunsinamerica.org. If you or someone you know is struggling with thoughts of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.